Hello and welcome to One for All, a weekly podcast where two know-it-all Americans rewatch and review the anime My Hero Academia, a show that was not made for us, but we're going to tell you how we feel about it anyway. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your other host, Anna.
And today we will be discussing Season 2, Episode 19, Everyone's Internships.
Everyone's Internships. Mm-hmm. It's a new age, folks. I let Nancy do the openings now. I just take it breezy easy over here.
How horrific.
How horrific.
I wonder how many people we're going to lose.
Well, we have the stats to
track that. That's true. We'll be able to figure it out.
We'll know pretty quickly and can make adjustments on the fly, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's another week. Another week in our seemingly... overburdened healthcare system here in America, where COVID is running rampant, the government is running rampant, and nobody wears a mask.
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
We were at the beach this week, and no one was wearing a mask.
Yep, we went to the beach. I had a bit of a nice little writing retreat down at York Beach. And I was thinking ahead of time, okay, how do I enjoy my vacation while still being respectful of all the rules? And apparently no one else had that thought beforehand.
No, we're just going to spread it around. It's going to be good. Yeah, I mean, I can't even believe that we've been talking about COVID for this long.
Yeah.
It's kind of feeling like 2021 is...
Don't even say that. Don't. It's too depressing. But probably true. Anyways,
that's all that's going on with us. more COVID. I have two job interviews on Wednesday.
That is exciting. That is something worth celebrating.
I will show up to a virtual interview.
That's weird.
and in the safety of my home, mm-hmm. and talk about furniture for a while.
You know, one of my biggest fears back when I had to interview for jobs, because I've definitely been in a situation similar, not the same, but similar to yours. My biggest fear was not, am I going to fuck up this interview? That was one of my fears. But my biggest fear is, what if I get lost on the way and I'm late? So you don't have to worry about that when you're being interviewed from your home.
I don't have to worry about that, though I did get lost yesterday.
Yes.
Just quick story before we jump into the episode. I head down to visit my dad once a week. He lives out on an island just off the coast of Maine, and it's close enough that there is a bridge, mm-hmm. like, to get there. So not too far. And there are, like, three different ways to get home, and if you've ever been to Maine, you know that spring and summer might as well just be one season called construction, mm-hmm. Where we endlessly dig up the roads and prepare to destroy them in winter. And I've been taking a specific route home to avoid the construction. And it goes through the back roads of Maine. And it just so happens that I lost GPS and internet connectivity on the way and was lost in the middle of the back roads of Maine for about an hour as I tried to find a central artery of a road that would take me back to civilization. And it took me 2.5 hours to get home.
And that, for all you're probably thinking, like, geez, Anna can't drive. But that is, like, a genuine concern, because the majority of the state is like that. Like, the majority of the state is not like where we live in central Maine. The majority of the states are these teeny tiny towns with these long roads that go through nowhere to nowhere.
If you look at a map and you look at Maine, there are all these, like, funny shaped dots, what that you think that would be towns, but mm-hmm. they don't even have a name. They're just like a number.
Yeah, they're townships. And then there's the territory. And yeah, it's welcome to Maine.
Welcome to Maine.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Wilderness.
Yes.
Lots of wilderness. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're going to get into this week's episode now. We won't bore you with more details mm-hmm. of our lives. This week's episode, Everyone's Internships, I believe is as fillery as it gets.
This is filler. There is no getting around it. It is 100% filler, but I don't think it's bad filler.
I mean, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember watching it, and I did read somewhere that this episode was not part of the manga. It was 100% created for the anime, so it's filler. And that's fine. I actually do remember enjoying watching this episode.
Filler weighs so heavily on my heart when I watch anime, where I'm like, you have all these rich characters, but you can't do anything with them because you're behind the actual canon, and yeah. you can't just make something the fuck up. These people don't matter. Like, a villain shows up, you're like, oh, they're pretty interesting. But for some reason, they're extremely shallow and defeated in one episode. But anyways, It's neither here nor there. We're going to go watch the episode, and we'll be back with you to discuss whether it was good filler or bad filler. See you soon. All right, and we're back. It was okay filler.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely filler. You could tell from watching it, but it was still fun.
It was really okay. Like, I've seen so much Naruto filler in my life, and most of it's really bad.
Yeah, I feel like other shows like Naruto, Inuyasha, have sort of created an expectation in me that filler means a dramatic downgrade in animation.
A Shippo episode.
And stories that don't matter.
Is that what we're calling this episode? A Shippo episode?
It's not a Shippo episode, because Sue is so much cooler than Shippo.
Shippo's so fucking useless. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. We get a little bit of hospital recap.
Yeah, we have Deku staring at his phone and reflecting over Hero Killer Stain and the fact that Endeavor got the credit for it.
He looks so displeased when he's talking to the media in that clip.
Yeah. And we also get to say goodbye to Tenya, or at least Deku waves him off.
As he goes to stay with his parents after his arm scan.
Yeah. Because of his injury, obviously he's not going to continue his internship. Todoroki is going to go back with Endeavor, though, and finish off his internship.
He had light injuries.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to go learn what I can from that douchebag. Mm-hmm. And Deku's like, you kind of mean when it comes to that man.
But doesn't
that
man bring out mean. The best in him.
So. No, not at all. Deku does mention that their names were not given to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody knows. I don't even think they told their parents.
No.
I think they told no one, which seems, again,
not a good idea.
Extremely questionable.
Yeah, especially, like, from a legal perspective, don't you have to loop parents in on what's going on with their children?
They were injured during this.
Do you think maybe Deku's mom might be like, I wonder, well, I mean, he's been injured before, so.
I mean, but can you imagine Deku's mom?
Mm-hmm. Freak out.
Deku's mom has got it going on.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to get on the market. Mm-hmm. A good woman. A poor, sad, good woman.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
So we finish off this little sequence with Deku reflecting that, you know, he's thinking about how hard that everyone else is working on their internships.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
So we get to see a little bit of those internships, and a lot of bit of one internship in particular.
Yeah, we start internship recap with Bakugo walking with Best Genius, and Best Genius is like, hey, Bakugo, we do this because crime is likely to be up, but what's the other reason that we do this?
And when you say this, you mean patrolling.
Patrolling.
Yeah, why do we patrol? Which is a very important question.
City of Heroes has made me hate patrolling forever. But Bakugo, in traditional fashion, is like, we beat villains up when we see them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, the purpose is to reassure the public that everything is fine.
Yes, for us to be visible and to create sort of a trust with the public by being there for them. And we're able to see the start of some of this. We see people recognize Best Genius, a bunch of fangirls, clearly, and they're very excited to see him. And then we see some children recognize Bakugo for very different reasons.
For being the guy who got captured by a villain in season one.
The kids are like, oh, you were crying or something like that, which I don't know is...
out.
Yeah.
he freaks out.
Mm-hmm.
His fragile male ego cannot handle...
Not at all.
...the criticism of children.
And Best Genius is like, hey, we've talked about this. How do we react in these situations?
And he tries to tone it down a smidge, but it's still pretty aggressive, and the kids cry and run away.
Yeah, he goes off about, like, you know, I wasn't crying, I was just planning my next attack or something like that, which we know was bullshit. He was completely at the mercy of that villain back in that episode. And Bakugo claims he's going to be number one.
He's going to be number one.
Yeah.
He's going to do it. His hair pops out of its nice, prim, proper form when he gets mad. He's
Bakugo's all hair cannot be contained.
It cannot be contained. There's not enough gel in the world.
Nope.
We get to see Gunhead and Ochako doing some training on how to disarm somebody with a knife.
Yeah, which is nice. You know, it's nice to see that in these two internships, even though one person is clearly more receptive, they're getting actual education out of it. Like, it's important for Bakugo to learn why a hero does the things they do, not just to be number one. And it's important for Ochako to learn more physical defense. So there's sort of like a quick couple back and forths, one where you know, she has to try to, well, she's the one with a knife, and then she learns how to disarm someone with a knife from, what's his face?
Gunhead.
And then they switch roles.
They switch roles so that she can learn, mm-hmm. and she's really impressed at how, like, well he moves despite being a kind of cute guy in a mask.
Yep.
But, yeah, she's learning stuff. She's doing good. They're actually going to pay this scene off later.
Yep.
Which will be important.
And then we get, speaking of people who are getting something valuable from their internships.
Momo and Kendo.
Who are not getting something valuable from their internship again.
Being pretty in front of crowds with, she's not Dragon Lady. I don't remember what her hero name is.
I don't remember either. She's in some sort of an autograph session and she compares it to like an Enka singer when they're off doing, you know, fan stuff. And all I can think about is what Best Gina said about the importance of patrolling and how this isn't it.
Yeah, this definitely is not it.
No.
This is a great example of what Stain was talking about and mm-hmm. like heroes who just use their position for like fame and wealth. So poor Momo and Kendo are learning nothing.
Yep.
Unfortunately. Death Arms, the hero we met in episode one,
mm-hmm.
is hanging out with Earphone Jack.
Jiro.
Saving some people.
Yeah, they're actually fighting crime. I mean, Death Arms, he puts her in sort of a safe place during this. Like, she's not actually going and fighting the bad guys. He's going and fighting the bad guys, and she's helping the
hostages escape
and get to safety. But they call her a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that, you know, you remember back at the beginning of this arc where she's like, oh, I have to do all this running. But you could tell that it means something to her, and she's made a journey during this time.
And she's not huffing and puffing now when she's running with the hostages.
No.
Which is important.
There is another quick scene that we missed with Fourth Kind.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Tetsu and
Kirishima,
where they are picking up litter because it's important for heroes to contribute to the community, which is also true.
Fourth Kind seems like a good guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Very
despite
serious.
Despite his exterior.
His tough exterior. The bulk of the episode, however, is focused on Sue.
On a boat.
Froppy.
Mm-hmm.
On a boat. She's serving with a hero, like a naval water-based hero.
Very appropriate, considering she's a very water-based hero.
We actually see her with Selkie, who it seems like a sailor. She's in like a sailor's outfit.
Sirius. Yeah. We see her first with Sirius, who's Selkie's sidekick.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I got the two S names.
They're
mixed
very
up.
Similar, so I do not blame you.
She is the sidekick for Sirius, who is a big seal man.
Mm-hmm.
He is a big seal man, and you can tell that Selkie has a crush on him because she's like...
Selkie has a crush on who?
Sirius?
Sirius,
yeah. Well, she gets all blushy.
Yeah.
And then when she's talking about his muscular bod, mm-hmm. the first cut scene is to his crotch. They don't start with the chest or the mm-hmm. arms. It's just crotch shot, chest, arms, face. And then he makes a cute face.
Trying to launch a ship. Yeah, in the first scene that we have with Sirius and Sue... Sirius is the sidekick again, and she's actually giving Sue advice about what it's like to be a hero. And she mentions that how when she first started, she was a little disappointed it wasn't all
action
from the start, and how the daily grind is actually a big part of it. And at the beginning of her, you know, experience, she actually found it kind of disappointing, but over time she has learned that there's value in that.
Yeah, like when she became the sidekick to the captain,
mm-hmm.
she learned a lot more about what it meant to be a hero. And Sue asks what that is, and she's like, you got to figure it out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't tell you. And that's when we meet our gigantic seal man.
Yep. And, you know, he has this very humorous introduction, Selkie. And we do get the running gag of the episode where he tries to make a cute face. And everyone says he fails, but I think he's pretty cute.
I think he's pretty cute. he says that it always works on the kids, and mm-hmm. it must because Sue thinks he's cute.
Yeah. And by cute, by the way, we mean like adorable.
Adorable, not yeah. sexy man bod.
No.
Which we just talked about.
Yeah.
which the other one is very focused on and gets mm-hmm. very disappointed when he tries to do a cute face.
Yeah. Because she doesn't see him that way.
No.
I think it's very interesting that we have a hero here that is... multiple heroes in this episode that are animal-like after last episode when you're like, you don't see too many animal-based heroes.
They show up here in the filler.
Yep.
Where they're like, what can we give these people? Make them animal-like.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Spider-Man recipe. How do we give people power? Pick an animal.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a totem. Just attribute it the powers of the totem.
pretty much. And yeah. And so at this point, we get sort of our commercial break, and the ship heads off on its adventure for the day.
It heads off on its adventure, and we get a call from the Coast Guard, who's like, hey, we had a ship come in that we thought had stowaways and, like, smuggled cargo, but we pulled over the ship, and we didn't find anybody.
Yeah.
Can you go investigate for us? And they're like, yep, we're going to go do the thing. And they set out.
Yeah. And I like the fact that, like, Selkie lets Sue sort of take part in this conversation and figuring out that it's about smuggling. Because it definitely shows how, again, her internship is going well and it has value, that she's participating, even in small ways.
You can see that the captain is very impressed by her ability to deduce what is going on. And when they set out, the captain and some of the sailors are going to investigate this boat. They basically cut it off at sea and say, hey, by order of the Coast Guard, we're going to investigate your boat.
Yeah. They end up finding it. There's a quick sequence where they talk about the people on the boat are going to use, like, traditional boat means. And then we get an explanation of Selkie's powers, where we learn about how he is going to locate the boat.
Does everything a seal can.
Does everything a seal can, including using sonar, which ends up being important. It comes up multiple times this episode.
Yeah, they did a good job of paying off that piece of information. But yeah, when they find it, the captain and a couple sailors are going to go over. He specifically tells Sue to stay on the boat.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't like this.
Nope, she's not happy with it. She wants to get the most out of her internship.
Yeah. And I feel like this is a very natural reaction in stories like this. You always have the young hero who wants to be a part of the action but has to be held back. And she has a conversation with Sirius where Sirius kind of encourages her to have faith in the captain and believe in the captain, which ends up being another important part of this episode.
I mean, it's when you're dealing with a ship or you're dealing with, like, the Navy or the Coast Guard, there's a clear, like, chain of command there that clearly exists here, even though they work with the Coast Guard, but they are not the Coast Guard.
No, they're not military, but there is still that, you know, like you said, the similar chain of command.
So she's like, you gotta trust the captain. Mm-hmm. I trust the captain. You should trust the captain because we believe that the captain has made the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an important lesson for you to learn. And it turns out that the captain does a little investigation of their boat. And it looks like two of the sailors are squiddy people. They're squid kids.
Yeah, it's weird because they have like these tentacles on their heads, but they have like weird beaks.
And ponchos.
But
squid kids.
Yeah, so there are these.
Are they kids or are they squids?
Who knows? But there are two of them there, and then there's one guy that looks kind of normal. And they let them know they're going to look through their ship and they're going to look for the smuggled cargo.
They don't find it.
They don't find it, but there is this mysterious hatch that they haven't examined yet. What's down the hatch, you ask?
Blackness.
They open up the hatch to look at the last bit, and all of our heroes are pushed inside and locked away.
Yep, and even the guy who helped the stowaways, he's like, you told me you wouldn't kill me if I helped you, and they're like, we won't kill you, just get in this water bin with everyone else.
Yeah, which sounds kind of dangerous. And after this, now that we've had them reveal that they're the bad guys, these squiddy people, we get a name drop of what the villain is. Innesmouth? Something like that. It's a Lovecraft reference, which should give you a really strong mental image of what the villain's going to look like.
Yeah. our good captain utilizes his sonar-based powers to send, like, Morse code to Sirius on the boat. Because her quirk is hear good.
Yeah.
Good ear.
Good ear. Yeah, we learned that she can hear things at higher frequencies.
So she says, the captain says that they're fine, that they have been duped, and to go find the boat, it's in a different place. The boat with the cargo and the villain are in a different place. So Sirius tells the one remaining sailor and Sue to buckle up. We're going to hunt for these people, and they go do it. And they find the boat hiding between two rocks.
Yeah, and Sue is allowed to help out this time. They have fewer hands, so that makes sense.
They manage to get the jump on the boat. And we have another squid kid in a yellow poncho just hanging out. And Sue does a good job picking her up and dragging her away so that they can get on the boat undetected. But they are duped. They are the duped, and they are attacked by Squid Boss Jr., who is a mighty, like, octopus or squid man.
With many tentacles.
Many tentacle hands.
Yeah.
The hand part is the creepiest part of that, I think. The tentacles are huge, and they end in hands, like webbed-like hands that can grab things. He spits some ink in the sailor's eyes, and he manages to pick up Sirius, and then Sue is... alone.
Yeah, she's put in a bad position because the villain here discovers that Sirius has like a radio on her, and someone like sort of radio in, and he tells Sue, like, you know what, just let them know that everything here is fine and that you're gonna help me out and then you're gonna be fine, which we know probably isn't the case, seeing we saw the last person that was forced to help him out just get shoved in a hole.
Yep.
And there's a back and forth between Sue and Sirius, where Sirius is like, no, don't trust this guy. You need to trust the captain.
Yep, need to trust the captain. And in the end, she does decide to trust the captain. Instead of saying that everything is fine, she says where the people are, where they are. And then she gets her ass kicked.
Yeah, I mean, there is a bit of a scuffle. Like, we see Sue try to jump away and grab Sirius with her tongue. Kind of similar, actually, back to season one, where she grabbed Deku and...
Mineta,
the little perv.
Little perv should have been his name.
In the last ship adventure, back in season one. But it doesn't work this time, because this guy has too many arms, basically.
Yeah, he definitely managed to grab a hold of her tongue, and then throws her, basically, like a... What is it called? A handball? Like, just tethered ball.
A tether ball.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's been a long time since I was on an elementary school playground. Like a tether ball into the rocks nearby. And she's all fucked up. And he looks like he's going to kill her. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not just going to knock her out. But she is saved.
Yes, the captain arrives just in the nick of time.
And he saves the day, and everyone helps.
Yes. There's a bit of a fight where... We see that the captain gets squid ink spurted in his face.
Just like Mario Kart. You can't see, and exactly. It's not great.
But he's able to use his sort of sonar ability to figure out where the villain is so he can fight him more effectively.
Again, very good payoff of,
yes.
of a very, I think, understated power.
Mm-hmm.
And he manages to fight this guy to a standstill with the help of Sirius, who grabs the guy's legs so he cannot maneuver. And they capture this guy and turn him into the Coast Guard.
So they are victorious.
At the end of the episode, what we have is they're turning over the cargo and they're turning over the villains to the Coast Guard. And there is a middle-aged gentleman who is part of the Coast Guard, who is in charge, and asks when they got a new sidekick. And they explain that Sue is a UA student, but even though she doesn't have her license yet, she's a great hero.
Yeah, and it's kind of a nice moment because the middle-aged guy, looks like he's going to kind of talk down to her first for being a kid, but they're like, no, don't treat her like she's a kid. She's a hero.
She helped.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I really look forward to working with you again in the future. And he shakes her hand, and it's this very sweet moment. I think even though this is filler, it does a really good job of showing the, like, respect that the actual organizations, the police, the Coast Guard, the Japanese Defense Force, like whatever they have over there, have for the hero community and, like, the service that they provide to the country. And it was a good moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. Like, it's... You know, it's definitely not the best episode of the season, but I feel like it did some things really well. Like, I feel like, similar to the other episodes that have kind of gone through everyone's internships, is it gets to show you a bunch of different shades of what it means to be a hero. Like, whether that's, I mean, we learn about what it's like to be a ship-faring hero on that, which is something we haven't touched on at all. We also learn the importance of patrolling and through community service. And stuff like that. So even though it doesn't further along Deku's story in any way, let's be honest.
No.
It does give us a wider glimpse of the world that goes beyond Deku.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all in all, it's a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's filler, it's well done filler. It does a good job, which a lot of filler doesn't, of expanding the world in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
And I think that it does that largely because it still works within the existing framework.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't add anything radical.
No.
But it does reinforce what you know is already there and gives you a glimpse into another portion of that world without, again, doing anything that's like way out of bounds.
Yeah. And it's nice to have them a feature on a female character for a change. I know we've been a little critical at times about that. And Sue is a character that I really enjoy. So it's nice to see her, you know, put into a situation where she is challenged and the stakes are raised and she has to make important decisions.
Yeah, I like Sue a lot too. I think that her powers are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And she's definitely not, I think, as flashy as some of the other characters that they could have chosen to focus on.
No.
Which was really neat too. I think that despite that this is filler, because it's a part of the anime, she's a stronger character for this episode
mm-hmm.
than not.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I like this episode. Like I said, it's not the strongest one of the season or anything like that, but I did genuinely enjoy getting to watch it.
It's hard to shine in this season of really great episodes.
There's so much good stuff.
I think plus Ultra Character of the Week's got to go to Froppy.
Yeah, I would definitely give it to Sue. I thought she did a good job this week. She was thrown into a situation that a student should not be thrown into, which we've seen also saw with Deku, you know, this season. And she managed to get out of it with far fewer injuries. So, good job.
That's what happens when your powers aren't self-destructive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the episode too, as mentioned, and I do believe that Sue is the choice
mm-hmm.
for this week's award. It focused so heavily on her
that
I don't think it really could have been anyone else. I mean, Bakugo didn't win that award this week with his failure to learn basic
mm-hmm.
kindness.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could make an argument that, you know, Selkie did well, but he's a hero. I mean, that's the whole point of this episode, is he's someone that you can trust and he's someone that does, you know, a good job. So the fact that he does so is
expected.
It's expected. It doesn't go beyond.
And I mean, that's it for this week. We got a doozy next week, though. We'll talk about that in a minute. In the meantime, if you want to interact with the show, you can do so on Twitter at OneForAllCast. You can also find us there directly as well. I'm at Incidentally Anna, A-N-A. And Nancy is at
Watch Nancy Tweet.
Now, additionally, if you love the show, we'd love for you to leave us a review on your pod host, pod listening platform, pod place.
Podcatcher?
Podcatcher of choice. It helps people find the show, and it's one of the easiest things you can do to support us if you enjoy listening every week. Now, don't forget to check out Nancy's writing on Amazon.com in ebook, print, or KU. You can check out Red and Black, Black and Blue, Silver and Gold, and the new collection, which just came out recently.
Yeah, The Lady of the Watchtower should definitely be out by the time this podcast is out, so please check it out.
Yeah, definitely do that and look forward to another book next year in the Red and Black series. I've already read it
mm-hmm.
because I get to read the beta version of the books. And it's a good one for any of you who enjoy your Flash kind of comics.
Mm-hmm.
I won't elaborate further than that, but it's really fun. As always, I wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for listening. We wouldn't be here without you. This is why we do the thing every week. I want to thank Richard DaCosta for our opening and ending credits, and of course, a very special thank you to my co-host, Nancy. We're going to see you next time as we dive into Season 2, Episode 20, Listen Up, A Tale from the Past, where we will learn more about All Might's history with the mysterious All for One. We'll see you then.
See you then.